Nicole Chinero Chat. It is great to have you on, and this is going to be a good show. I got a good feeling about this one.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So, Adam, for our listeners who may not be totally familiar with you, who are you? What do you do? Why do you do it?
So, I'm a serial writer. I started out originally blogging about Juventus, just from my experience of going to matches in Turin and following the team, which I've done since I was a kid. And then gradually that progressed into more professional writing and writing for 442 and Bleacher Report and various other places. But I've just recently launched the TurinCrowd.com, which is sort of going back to the back to the start again, really, with a blog solely about Juventus, because I think there's a real gap for writing about a specific team and analysing the performances and really trying to steer clear of the breaking transfer news, the endless cycle of players linked in and out of clubs, especially the bigger clubs. As you know yourself, it's relentless, isn't it? And
yeah,
I think there's a real gap, especially in some of the on some of the bigger platforms, for some more detailed coverage of these teams. And I think that The Athletic are doing a great job with the Premier League coverage that they've just launched, but even still, there's still a whole group of other teams out there, the bigger clubs around Europe, that often get overlooked, like Juve, like Atletico Madrid and various others, Ajax I suppose being chief among them, that really don't get that same level of coverage, but deserve it because they have such a big audience and so many fans around the world.
I've read a bit of the stuff on the Turin Crowd. It's great stuff, including the post-match analysis from yesterday's contest. Highly recommended reading. So, just out of curiosity, why Juventus? Why did you start rooting for them?
They've always been my team since I was a kid. I grew up watching Italian football on TV, and I was always around it, and it was always Juve for me. And especially once Gianluca Vialli moved to Juve from Sampdoria, I was a massive Vialli fan, and seeing him come to Juve just kind of sealed the deal, even though I was already fully convinced by then. And then I was fortunate enough that I got to work out in Turin in the late 90s, early 2000s, and I was a season ticket holder for a few years in that spell, and then again fortunate enough to go back about 4 or 5 years ago and really cover the team even more. So it's just always been there, and I'm lucky enough to follow the team as a profession.
But I bet it doesn't really feel like work, you know?
No, never.
No.
Never. There's some days when Juve were grinding out 7th-place finishes, and it was hard, but it's still, end of the day, you get paid to watch football and talk about football. You can't really be complaining, can you?
Oh, absolutely. No, it feels like fun. It doesn't really feel like work. And that's all any of us can hope for, right?
And I love it. And it doesn't matter if it's Juve or it's another team, and seeing good teams play well is always entertaining. And being able to write about the other big clubs and the great stories that surround them, the likes of Inter, Milan, Roma, Napoli, it's fantastic.
All the really big Italian clubs. And yeah, it's going to be an interesting season in Serie A. Juventus are still obviously the big favorites to win another title, but there's been some more investment there, and it's a league that I'll be paying closer attention to this season. That Juve-Napoli game a couple weeks ago was the first one I watched in its entirety. That was a fun game. Probably not for you, but it was a fun game for the neutral with that wild comeback from Napoli. Let's talk about Juventus a little bit now before we get into the match that took place yesterday. What were your general thoughts on their summer incomings and outgoings and the beginning of the Sarri era? It seemed to me like Juventus kind of went for broke in a way in an all-out effort to win the Champions League this year.
Yeah, I think so. I think that loss to Ajax really kind of hammered home that there was a lot of work to do and changes that need to be made if this team was to compete with the very best team, well, not even the very best teams in Europe, but the good teams in Europe, which Ajax were last season, weren't they? And seeing the rest of Europe progress towards this up-tempo, energetic attacking style where one goal is never going to be enough to win a tie, and you have to put opponents to the sword. Once you've got ahead, you've got to stay ahead, and relying on your strong defence is not going to be allowing you to do that. And I think I'm really glad the way you worded the questions about incomings and outgoings, because I think if you look at what Juve did in the incomings in replacing Allegri with Sarri, I think that's a clear step in the right direction, right? Whether you think Sarri is the right man or not, he clearly champions that same style that Juve were aiming for, whether they were trying to get Guardiola or Pochettino or any of those managers. Sarri is one of those, as much as he's a very different character in himself. His playing style is very much in keeping with that style. I think getting Matthias de Ligt ahead of almost every other club in Europe, given the fact that he's a Mino Raiola client, he was linked with everybody, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a real coup. And that, I think then bringing in the likes of Adrian Rabiot and Aaron Ramsey, it's more of the same, isn't it? It's pushing towards that more modern, attacking, possession-based style that Juve have shunned in recent seasons, and they've been much more pragmatic and tried to defend leads and tried to be more compact and tight and resolute, and that's backfired on them a number of times, usually against Real Madrid, against Atletico Madrid last season too in the first leg certainly, and then against Ajax. And yeah, I was really pleased with that. I think then the flip side of that is that the outgoings or lack thereof, from my perspective, and you look at bringing in De Ligt and Demiral in central defence, but Daniele Rugani is still there. You look at bringing in Ramsey and Rabiot, and you've already got Emre Can and Bentancur and Miralem Pjanic, but they couldn't or wouldn't shift or move on from Sami Khedira and Blaise Matuidi. And none of those players, and Paulo Dybala as well, who struggled to fit in alongside Cristiano Ronaldo and Mandzukic, Higuain, a real logjam in attack as well. And that failure to push those players out and to move them on has really left Juve with a heavy squad, a deep squad. And you've seen this week, even with Giorgio Chiellini injured, Sarri's had to leave Mandzukic, Emre Can out of the Champions League squad, and that's a real blow to me, because both those players are players who always seem to make the difference in the biggest matches, and you can speak to that as well after last season when Can was one of the better players in that second leg for Juve.
Yeah.
How you can leave him out in favour of Matuidi and Khedira is beyond me, and I think the club has to take responsibility for that. And because of the experience and the quality that Matuidi and Khedira have shown in the past in particular, it's hard to move on from those guys. And I think that's handicapped Juve in the start of the season, where having them there is kind of like a safety net for Sarri. And he's not pushed them out of the team and brought in Ramsey and Rabiot straight away. He stayed with the older players, and the team's really suffered as a result. And the style that Sarri is championing is constantly falling down in midfield when you see the ball fall to one of those players, and you know they're not going to be able to do anything with it. You know, we can talk about Matuidi's goal later on from last night, but he's not a technically gifted player, is he? His first touch is abysmal, and Khedira, bless him, for all he was a great, great player in the past, I think for the past 18 months, 2 years, he's been way off the pace. And,
yeah.
And, well, did you even notice he was playing last night before
no.
he was subbed off?
I really didn't. That, you know, that midfield is just, it was rough. The lack of pace, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but the lack of pace in midfield was kind of startling for Juve.
Yeah, it is. And it's been like that in all four matches so far. And I... out of nothing, I said to my son last night, have you seen Khedira? Because watching it, I couldn't see him. And my son looked at me and went, wait, Khedira is playing? I was like, well, he's on the pitch. And it was just before Khedira went off. And because he was subbed off, we got to see that he actually was on the pitch. But he's not really done anything. And in an article after the Fiorentina match on theturincrowd.com, I wrote about the style that Sarri's looking to impose, and how in his last season at Napoli 2 years ago, of every player in Serie A in terms of average passes per 90 minutes, five Napoli midfielders topped that list. Jorginho, Allan, Hamsik, the three starting midfielders, and then Diawara and Rog, who were the first reserves, if you like, in his squad, they all topped that list. for players who played more than 10 matches. And Jorginho led the way with 108 passes per game, per 90 minutes, sorry. 108 passes per 90 minutes. And in the first three matches of the season in Serie A, Sami Khedira has managed 107 in total. So to me, that just epitomises everything that's wrong with seeing him play in a Sarri midfield. And the sooner we get to see Ramsey and Rabiot healthy and on the pitch and earning their playing time, the better for me, because I think the team will take a huge leap forward once there's some pace and some ability in midfield outside of Muriel and Pjanic, who I thought has been fantastic all so far this season. We can talk about his performance last night later, but he's the only one who fits that mould, and the club's failure to move on from them has really hindered them this summer, I think.
Yeah, they don't have any. Ramsey and Rabiot not really getting embedded in the team yet is a bit surprising, because Matuidi and Khedira, they've just gotten old and they're not really a fit for what Sarri wants to do. And Pjanic, I completely agree. This kind of player who's just a metronome is the perfect type of midfielder at the base of that line. You mentioned Chiellini earlier, and how much has he been missed so far this year? I bet it's a lot. I think he was missed last night too.
If I say to you, how much do you miss seeing Diego Godin in central defence for Atleti, it's the same conversation. You know, he's everything, isn't he? He's the best defender. He's the most vocal leader. He's got the most experience. He's the one that organises the defence. And I think you really see just how much that's missing in matches like last night against the better teams, matches against Napoli, where both times that Juve had the game won and then let their opponents back in on set pieces. And Juve's problems on set pieces is something I've written about this morning, and it really is an ongoing issue, and it's magnified even more so when Chiellini's not there, because he's one of the better headers of the ball in the world. He's one of the better organisers. He's one of the better captains. He's just an immense figure in every way for Juve, and he's so sorely missed when he's not there.
Yeah, just talk about a true leader at the back, that veteran experience. And yeah, it is the same conversation that we've had with Godin, and Atletico are still trying to navigate their way through life without Godin. I mean, Jose Jimenez is the heir apparent, but as we saw last night, these are two teams that have real defensive frailties right now. It is early in the season, but for Atletico to concede 6 goals in 3 games is just wild. You never would have seen that in previous years under Simeone, but that's the situation right now. Atleti's defense is in a state of flux. Even then, I thought this was a good game from two good teams. The second half especially was just really wild, back and forth. This was kind of two different matches in one. What were your thoughts first half versus second half, and what surprised you about Atletico's performance?
In the first half, I think after Juve had an early scare when João Felix went on the break, and then Atleti had one when Ronaldo had a good chance that was saved by Oblak, and I think both teams kind of reverted to type then, didn't they? I mean, you're probably talking about the two better defensive teams in Europe over the past 5-6 years, and they proved that in the first half after those two early chances. They really denied each other any time and space to operate. There was very few spaces to exploit, and both teams got a solid block of players behind the ball and really jammed each other up. And if you like KG chess match football, it was good, but it stopped being a spectacle after those early scares. And that was a credit to both teams. As you say, they've both had defensive problems this season, and I think being able to do that, that for both teams, forget the final result, that 40 minutes after those early chances, I think that shows that there are reasons to believe that things are going to get better on that front for both sides, because when they need to do it, they can do it, and when they're organised and thinking about it and communicating well, there's two solid defences there still, and I think that was great to see for on both counts, I guess. And I think for what surprised me, I think the change in style from Atleti, from having the team they've had for so long, when you see Godin, when you see Griezmann, a bit less cavalier than they were in the past, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. When you knew you had Godin back there, you could take more risks and throw more men forward. I was very surprised at how withdrawn the two fullbacks were last night. Is it Lodi and Trippier?
Yeah.
I think both sat a lot deeper than we're used to seeing of from Atleti fullbacks. I think of the likes of Simi Vasaiko, who was almost a winger for you, wasn't he? And other players in and amongst on both flanks. I think that really surprised me. And it seemed like they were more cautious because of those defensive frailties, perhaps, and looking to just hit on the break through Felix. And that didn't seem to surprise Juve, but it did surprise me. I've not seen Atleti this season until yesterday, so I didn't know what to expect, and I was very surprised to see that more cautious approach. Because for all we talk about Atleti being a good defensive team, it's usually after they've taken the lead that we see them retreat and shut up shop, isn't it? And then you still have the quality of Griezmann up there, and that change was really stark for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, so often we've seen in the past this reliability on Griezmann, this kind of sense that he has to do everything for Atleti. And there is still kind of that enigmatic quality. We don't really know what this team is yet, because there have been so many changes. A entirely new defense. Jimenez and Savic at the back didn't really play together much before this season. And you have the two new fullbacks in Lodi and Trippier. Everything is going through them. Trippier managed nearly 100 touches on Wednesday. Made that huge goal line clearance when it was 2-1, and then set up the second goal from a corner. Trippier has been really good so far, and that's been kind of a pleasant surprise, because he just wasn't quite at that level last season. The defense is definitely a work in progress, and Simeone is still trying to find the best role for João Félix, because he's not exactly a Griezmann, replica. He's a different player. He has different characteristics, and the ceiling is just extremely high. And you still have to be careful with him. He's only 19 years old. So from the standpoint of, there's unpredictability now with Atletico. And going down 2-0 in previous years, that would have been it. We're so used to seeing Atletico give up that first goal. And when that happens, it's basically over in the past. But this is now the second time in less than 3 weeks Atletico have recovered from a 2-0 deficit to either win or draw. And yeah, speaking of this draw, is this a good result in your mind, despite the blowing of the 2-0 lead?
I think it's hard. It's something I tried really hard to do when I was writing my analysis of the match this morning, is trying to separate the result from the performance, because I think if we'd have had this discussion at this time yesterday, it's 6:30 Turin time now, and I think if we'd had this discussion this time yesterday, would you take a 2-2 draw? I would have been like, yep. It was 2-0 there to Atleti last season. I think 5 years ago, when Juve and Atleti met in the group stage, it was 0-0 at the Vicente Calderon. And Juve had only scored one goal ever away to Atletico Madrid before last night, and that was in 1965. So, yeah, a 2-2 draw would have been ideal. But I think once you have that two-goal lead, when you follow Juventus and you're used to solid defensive performances and being able to stop teams from doing exactly what Atleti did last night, you're disappointed ultimately when you throw away a 2-goal lead. And you mentioned the Napoli game before, that was a 3-goal lead, and Juve allowed Napoli back to 3-3 only for Koulibaly to score a really unfortunate own goal to eventually end that game in a 4-3 win for Juve. They were very lucky to win that. It's a trend that's slightly worrying at the moment, and it's something that Juve need to address. And those lapses, especially on set pieces, are really becoming all too regular. And Leonardo Bonucci and Maurizio Sarri both discussed that last night about how that needs to stop and needs to change. And hopefully we see that very soon. But it's 4 of the 5 goals that Juve have conceded this season have come from set pieces. 9 of their last 12 Champions League goals scored against them have been from set pieces, and that really is a worrying trend, isn't it? And something that has to be addressed very quickly.
And it happened again Wednesday. The first half, Atletico's best chances were from set pieces. Jimenez had a header that just went over the bar. It was really close. He had another good chance from a set piece, a header right at Chesney. And yeah, the first half kind of reminded me a bit of the first leg last year. Really cagey, these teams feeling each other out. And then Atletico came out of the dressing room and just, like a fire was lit under them, just ran Juve over in the second half. We don't need to talk about what happened in the second leg, but the second half, and it's kind of reversed. Juventus come out the better team. Bonucci hits a long ball that just absolutely wipes out Atleti's defense. Higuain latches onto it. I hadn't really noticed Higuain was out there in the first half, but he latches onto it, sends a ball across the box to Cuadrado, and I can't really fault Atleti's defense on that finish. Cuadrado just scored a great goal, didn't he?
Yeah, and it's something we've seen him do before against Lyon a couple of years ago, when he just scores goals that you just simply don't expect. And as you say, it's, the problem for Atleti was that initial ball from Bonucci, wasn't it? It's one of those where you imagine Diego Godin would just head that out, shout at somebody else for being in the wrong place, and the problem's gone. But with the new defence, as you mentioned, it's a little bit out of position. Bonucci spots it, picks out Higuain, who makes the perfect run, then the perfect pass, and then an unstoppable shot from Cuadrado. And once the ball goes to Higuain, nobody really made a mistake for Atleti. It was a very well-worked goal from Juve after that, and it's that initial ball that you need to look to cut out. And yeah, Higuain was a non-factor in the first half, but for the first time this season, it's the way that the games have gone for Juve this season, the first two matches, the first half was brilliant, the second half was abysmal, and they've managed just to win at the end. The third game was a 0-0 draw against Fiorentina, where they didn't play well in either half. The first half against Atleti really carried on from that, where there wasn't really anything special to write home about from either side, really, apart from those early chances I mentioned before. And then the second half, Juve came out just like Atleti did in the same stadium a year ago, or earlier this year, and really blew the doors off Atleti. And that was really surprising for me. It's the first time we've seen a half-time reaction from Sarri's Juve, and it was fantastic to watch. And that first goal really helped them open it up, and then obviously that led to a second.
Yeah, and on that first goal, there weren't really any individual mistakes. I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo is also coming into the box. You can't really leave him unmarked, so three defenders have to swarm him. I guess you could say Renan Lodi's reaction was a little bit too slow. Stefan Savic maybe wasn't positioned right to head the ball away, but you can't really fault Atleti's individuals on that goal. The second goal, another counterattack. Ronaldo drives this one. Alexandro delivers a beautiful cross, and Matuidi heads into the top of the goal after splitting the center backs.
Yeah, and I touched on Matuidi being poor before. I don't think he was very good last night overall. I think a lot of times he was kind of left unmarked by Atleti a lot of the time. They seemed to be happy to let Matuidi have the ball and concentrate on the other players, and that saw him free a lot but not really produce anything of note, because that's simply not his game. And then he pops up with that header, which again is not really his usual style. It's not really anything he does, getting forward into the box like that. And it surprised me more than anything else we saw last night, the fact that he had the quality to finish that, and it was a perfect cross from Alexandro, a really good header from Matuidi. And at that point, Juve were firmly in control, weren't they? I had a quick look at some live statistics as that was going on, and I noticed on 72 minutes, Pjanic had completed 60 of 60 passes. I thought he was exceptional up until that point. But I think the Matuidi goal was what happened immediately when he scored was a perfect metaphor for the rest of the match for me. He scored and then he fell over and celebrated on the floor, but that kind of stumble and fall kind of summed up the rest of the match for me. It was a moment of magic from Matuidi, but then he just fell on his face, and Juve proceeded to do the same from then.
And then 5 minutes later, Atletico do get one back. Like I said, at that point, you feel like, and certainly in years past, you would have felt like, right, ball game, that's game over, Juventus are going to get the win. 5 minutes later, it's Savic popping up. I'm not sure if you knew this, but that is just the second ever goal Savic has scored for Atletico, his first in Europe. What a time for it, right? He gets away from Bentancur. Jimenez heads over to him across the face of goal and just powers the header through. Chesney really couldn't get over fast enough. And then the momentum kind of changes. A few minutes after that, Higuain forces a great save out of Oblak. I think that was overlooked. A marvelous save. And then Matuidi tries to follow up, get his second goal, and really put the game away. And Trippier clears off the line. And I think from that point, you see Atletico kind of wake back up. And eventually Vitolo comes on, and he makes a really sizable impact. Hector Herrera comes on, adds some grit, some experience, some composure, and then he eventually gets the equalizer on another set piece, Adam.
Yeah, and I think you're right in everything you say there. And from a Juve perspective, you look at those goals, and I've put some still images and highlighted some mistakes from Juve on those two set pieces, and you look at them individually. And on the first one, it's a dead central free kick, a really awful area to get a free kick as well. It's hard to manufacture anything from there, isn't it? And you look at it as the players running up to take the free kick, João Félix is completely unmarked on the edge of the area. There's a dead easy straight ball to him on if Atleti choose to exploit that, which is frightening in itself. And then instead they play the deep ball out to the left-hand side, and Jimenez gets up to win the header unchallenged almost, heads it back across goal. Savic has strolled in from the edge of the area completely unchecked, just as Manolas and Di Lorenzo did for Napoli on their two goals earlier in the month. Free header, nods it home, no problem. Second goal, a corner, much like Godin's header on the second Atleti goal last season.
Yeah, that was Godin.
He had a free header which was eventually saved, and then Jimenez tapped it home. But last night it was Herrera with I say a free header. The only person up challenging him for the header was Jimenez.
Yeah, that's right.
On the still image of that goal I've put up, there's four Juve players. It's Danilo, Matuidi, Sandro and Ramsey stood watching as two Atleti players challenge each other for a header, and either one of them could have scored it, and Herrera beat Jimenez to the ball. And it's terrible from a Juve perspective to see four players for Atleti, the Jimenez and Savic on the first goal, and then Jimenez and Herrera on the second goal, but all go up for unmarked headers, and one of them sets up a goal, two of them score goals, and the other one, if Herrera wasn't there, Jimenez would have scored anyway. It's a complete disarray at the back for Juve. Nobody talking, nobody picking up defenders, and those players are all notably dangerous. All right, Savic has only scored one goal before, but he's a heck of a target in the area, isn't he? And you can't leave him unmarked to walk in and tap home a header. It's very alarming from a Juve perspective that those players are allowed to just walk unchecked and win those headers unchallenged, and something that Juve have to fix very quickly, and something that Atleti exploited greatly last night in the second half.
Yeah, Jimenez found Dybala marking him in the build-up to Trippier's delivery, and it's really easy for him to get around Dybala, and he and Herrera just fighting for a header unmarked is... yeah, not a great look for Juve's set-piece planning, so to speak. Herrera gets that goal. Moments earlier, there had been a penalty appeal on a possible handball from Vinucci. Did not go to the VAR. But that, again, just kind of spoke to the momentum Atleti generated. I wasn't sure if it was a penalty. It ended up going for moot as Atleti got the equalizer anyway. I wasn't quite sure on replay. It looked like a 50-50 to me.
Yeah, I think with the change in rules this summer, I think Atleti were unlucky not to be given a penalty for that. I think it's one of those where his hand is not close to his body, is it? It's making himself bigger. It's not a natural silhouette of his body, however you want to describe it. And it really wouldn't have been a surprise if it had been given as a penalty.
Yeah, on replay, it looked a bit to me like it would have been a penalty. I mean, Bonucci, I think, was trying to draw his hand back, but it did go off his hand, and it didn't look like a natural position to me. Kind of jerked his hand back. It looked a little like a T-Rex arm. It wasn't quite a natural position, so it may have been given. It ended up going a bit for moot, though, as Hector Herrera, on his Atletico debut, got that goal. And Herrera has been an interesting case. These were his first official minutes for Atletico. and didn't have a great preseason, had been on the bench for the first month. He comes on in a very big spot and gets that equalizer. And as I said earlier, this is an Atletico team that we don't really know what they're going to be yet. We don't really know. This is a team that could top the group. It's also a team that could finish third. There is a high ceiling and kind of a low floor for this team. And I think we kind of saw both of those, that potential, that those capabilities on display Wednesday with the start to the second half and then how Atletico fought back, continued to battle. We managed 19 shots, 8 on target. Those are both pretty high numbers for Atletico. We're not used to seeing Atleti put those numbers up on many defenses. And in the preseason, we can't really draw many conclusions from the preseason match in Stockholm, but Juventus dominated that game, managed something like 30 shots, and Atletico just about hung on.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of positives for both teams, isn't it? When you look at the quality of the opponent that they were facing, to be able to take a 2-goal lead is huge for Juve. It's the kind of performance that they've needed for so long in Europe, because the win over Atleti last season was with their backs up against the wall. They almost did the same to Real Madrid the year before, and the rest of the time it's been defensive performances or performances that have fizzled out and seen Juve beaten. And the same for Atleti, as you said, that being able to fight back is something new for them. And being able to have so many shots and so many chances and being able to turn the momentum when it was so firmly against them after the Juve took a 2-goal lead, you can take plenty of positives from that as well. So I think both teams can go forward in this group now with renewed intent, with renewed vigour and renewed belief in themselves, because they both showed plenty of promise last night, and I think that's a good thing on both counts, and both can consider themselves unlucky that they only got a draw, I guess, because Juve will feel like they should have held on to that lead, and Atleti can feel that if they didn't have that nightmare 25-30 minutes to start the second half, that they could have won that game comfortably themselves as well. I think it's a very promising display from both teams ultimately.
This was a good game between two elite sides. Atletico are in the Champions League for a 7th year running. Juventus obviously have superstars, and the superstar to end all superstars. I thought he was going to get the winner in the 93rd minute. Didn't you?
I think he did as well, let's be honest. I think that run from Ronaldo, he took out 5 Atleti defenders in one run, dropped the shoulder, went inside, and as he turns in and onto his right foot, you think goal, don't you? He does too. He's probably worked out his celebration already, where he's going to run and everything. It was typical Ronaldo, wasn't it? A real cometh the hour, cometh the man moment, and you just see the net bulging, and then it didn't, and you're surprised that he hasn't won the game there. I think it was a typical piece of magic from him, as painful as it is to say, especially against Atleti, right?
He just decided he was going to try to win the game. And yes, knowing the trauma that man has inflicted on Atletico fans for many years, I just kind of assumed it was going to be a goal. And it just missed the far post. I mean, this was not far away at all. Had Oblak beat, I thought for sure it was going to be a goal. And that just would have been devastating for Atletico. But overall, got the draw. And Lokomotiv Moscow did beat Leverkusen last night in Germany. So they are atop the group. Atletico go there next. And I can't recall, Juventus home to Leverkusen, I assume?
Yeah, they are.
That's what I thought. So, yeah, this is an interesting group. These are all teams Atletico have seen before within the last 3 years. And it's a difficult group. There are trips to Russia involved. Leverkusen is not an easy place to go and play. Atletico have lost there in the last few years. And, of course, there's still the return fixture in Turin. And it's exciting. It's a really, really interesting group. And like I said, Atletico could finish anywhere from first through third. I think it's the safe prediction is Atletico finish second. This is also the third time in 31 Champions League home games for Atletico under Simeone that they got hit for 2 goals, which, one every 10 games, that's a decent average. And the other two games were losses.
It is, and I think the group is... It is really interesting, but I think you have to imagine that Juve and Atleti will both go through. You'd be very disappointed if they don't.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's one of those groups where the two other teams look difficult. It's not easy. Leverkusen are impressive. Sure, going to Russia is never easy, but you have to think that both Juve and Atleti have the firepower and the quality to see them off and to finish top. And I think a draw with each other on the opening day, it kind of sets that up perfectly, doesn't it? You go home now and win, because they'll play the four matches against those other two teams now before they play each other again. And I think Juve Atleti is the last game of the group.
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if the only thing up for grabs on that day is that who finishes top, who finishes second, and both have comfortably qualified. I think as tough as those two teams are, I think you have to look at the quality of the two seeded teams and think that they'll have more than enough to push on and see it through.
Yeah, you absolutely think so. This match was marketed in a sense as the Battle of the Portuguese between Portugal's present and Portugal's future. Obviously, we know about Cristiano Ronaldo, but João Félix still has that kind of air of the unknown about him, despite his very obvious talent. What did you make of him? What did you see out of him in your first real look at him?
He was dangerous last night, wasn't he? He was everything you'd hoped for, really. He was an outlet for Atleti when they were under pressure. He had some good chances. He was unfortunate not to score in that early chance that I touched on before. He looks a dangerous player, and if he can continue to develop the way he has over the past year, I think they've got a real talent there. I think it's a huge investment, and it's difficult to see Atleti turning a profit on that. But I think for as long as he stays in the team, he's a real asset and a real good pickup there, and an excellent potential replacement for Griezmann, isn't he?
And it's worth repeating that he's only 19, and he's going to get better. I think there is sort of expectation among some that you pay that much money for a teenager, he has to produce like Mbappe right away. But that's not the case, and this is a new league, a tougher league than Portugal, with a new coach who is known for his, shall we say, rigidity and his focus on defense. So he's got a lot of adjusting to do, and already has a goal and an assist to his name this season, and has looked dangerous just about every time he's touched the ball. You figure he can do something just really crazy skilled and just really unlike anyone else on the pitch. He can make really mazy runs, he can dribble, he's versatile, and we haven't really seen him in his best role either. Simeone really wants to start Costa and Morata together when they're both healthy. Morata's still out with a sprained knee, unfortunately, but he wants to start them both and have João Félix kind of drop behind him or drop off to the right, and I'm interested to see that. That would be really interesting to have him play behind two target men.
Yeah, I think so. I think you can see why the link to Ronaldo, the sort of comparing them to each other is there, because they almost play the same position, don't they? They can be a striker, but they're a little bit better if they're pushed a bit deeper and given more responsibility and allowed to carry the ball a bit more. And both of them last night showed flashes of what they're capable of, but didn't really deliver. And I think you can say that either one of them could have grabbed a goal. And he really does, really would be interesting to see him in that different position. And I think he could have a lot more to offer there rather than just being pushed up top or lower. And Morata is almost a perfect four for him with his speed and his quality of finish, isn't he?
Yeah, you're familiar with Morata, of course. And yeah, it's tough because he's still out with a knee sprain. He's likely not going to play this weekend against Celta Vigo. He's going to end up missing about a month with that injury. So Atletico still really aren't at full strength. Thomas Partey as well, left injured, or at the very least with a cramp. So we'll see what his status is for the weekend. What's up next for Juventus? What's going on in the next couple weeks before Champions League?
Fortunately for Juve, after some difficult performances and some difficult matches with Napoli, Fiorentina, and then Atleti, they've got a nice little run of games where they can really look to gel and push on now with Hellas Verona at home, Brescia away, Spal at home, and then Leverkusen at home. And you hope that during that time we can see some of the players we've talked about before, the likes of Ramsey, Rabiot, we see Sarri's style bedding a little bit more and see things start to click a little bit. And I think that's come at a great time for Juve. The international break really interrupted the start of the season, and as it always does, especially when you have so many international players. And I think that really has hurt Juve in the last two matches. And now, as I say, they have this run against two newly promoted teams and a team who only avoided relegation on the last day of last season. So you would hope that they can really put those teams to the sword. And that's something that Sarri really enjoyed in the time he spent at Napoli, is really ripping into the smaller teams in the league and really looking to put as many goals as possible past them. And that's something that Juve fans haven't been able to enjoy for quite a while now. So I'm quite looking forward to seeing what he unleashes on those teams and seeing some real good attacking performances and hopefully a fix to this set-piece trauma as well.
Yeah, figures this is a good chance for Juventus to establish some ruthlessness and kind of get into a groove, which is just great news for everybody else in Italy. And a good chance for someone like Matthias De Ligt to adjust further to defending in the Italian style. What have you made of him so far? He played pretty well last night, I thought. 9 clearances, led all players. What have you made of him? And obviously his potential is massive.
Yeah, he had a bit of a nightmare against Napoli, which was his first start. And he's been thrown into the side because Chiellini has been out injured, which has meant playing on the left, not the right, which is not his natural position. Of central defence, he's played on the right throughout his time at Ajax, and now he's being asked to play on the left with Bonucci. Not playing alongside Chiellini as well is going to hurt him. I think I've likened the fact that he plays on the left, not the right, now to trying to learn to drive a right-hand drive car. When you spent all your life driving a left-hand drive car,
yeah,
you know what to do, everything's where it should be, but it's just on the wrong side than you're used to. And I think that's taken him some time to adjust to. I think everything else, he's quickly picking up the language. He's already used to playing a high defensive line and being asked to pass a lot because of his time at Ajax. So I think that should help him bed into Sarri's style quickly. It just does seem to be getting used to playing on the left, getting used to playing with Bonucci. I think, if he could have played with Chiellini, I think that would have been preferable at the start, a little bit more of a steady hand to reassure him and guide him along. But because he has to play now, it really is pushing him to develop, and he was much better last night than he'd been in his other two outings against Napoli and Fiorentina. As you say, led all players in terms of clearances with 9 and really looked a lot more confident than he has done up until this stage. And again, playing those weaker teams is only going to help that, isn't it? If he's troubled by the likes of Brescia and Hellas Verona, then we've really got a problem.
Then you got a problem, yeah.
He's got a chance now to help to keep the team, help the team keep a couple of clean sheets and really push on and show his quality, because we know he's got it, don't we?
Yeah, he's a bit more proven on the European stage than João Félix. Same age, but this is a guy who captained one of the continent's biggest teams, scored big goals for them, won league titles, now is in a brand new league. I think he's going to be okay. I think he's going to be just fine. Atletico have 3 games in a week coming up before the Champions League resumes. Celta Vigo on Saturday, away to Mallorca in a midweek fixture on Wednesday. I'm not a big fan of the midweek fixtures in La Liga. And then just a little Madrid derby next weekend. So kind of a long week, and then away to Lokomotiv just a few days after that. So Atletico do have a bit of a run here. Real Madrid and Lokomotiv back-to-back is going to be a toughie. But Atletico can regain some momentum in La Liga. Celta at home is usually a fixture that they succeed. I think they've dropped points in that fixture once in the last 5 years. And Mallorca away, Mallorca newly promoted, have done okay at home so far, a win and a draw. But you got to think Atletico are going to win that one as well. It's shaping up to be possibly a really interesting race in La Liga this year, for once, with Barcelona dropping points early, Real Madrid kind of a mess again, as we saw yesterday when they went to Paris. Yeah, not so great for them. there's been some talk that Zidane may be out at Christmas.
Which it wouldn't surprise you, would it, with the way that things go at Real Madrid?
Yeah.
And the speed at which they turn success into crisis. And
yeah.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? They're going through a real transition at the moment, even more so than Juve or Atleti, a real big change there. And it's not going great, as you say. And yeah, it really does open, like you say, with Barcelona dropping points as well, it really does open the door for anyone to take advantage, doesn't it? And we've seen in the past Atleti are one of the teams who can deliver consistent results. So if Simeone can get what he's trying to do with this new look team to click, I think those two next two matches that you mentioned really present an opportunity to do so. Real Madrid followed by Lokomotiv Moscow away is difficult, but if you can push on in the next two matches and really get things moving, it bodes well. And I think there were, as I said before, there were plenty of positives last night. I think Trippier's delivery at set pieces, the quality of players that are starting to show what they can really do now, it looks like another very good Atleti team, and the opportunities are there, aren't they, if you can put that run together and start to pick up results, and if you can really hammer home Real Madrid's crisis in 2 weeks' time, then all the better, eh?
Yeah, chance to continue what's been a solid start. The loss at Real Sociedad last weekend was a little dispiriting, but Atletico never win there. So overall, still off to a good start, and it makes the podcast better when Atletico play well. Let's face it, I prefer talking about a winning team rather than, you know, a losing team. But Atletico and Juve will meet again on November 26th, the second-to-last match day of the group in Turin. Should be a good one, Adam, and we will be sure to talk about it. Anything else you got? Anything you want to plug before we sign off?
No, just the website that we've already touched on, the TurinCrowd.com, and there's a newsletter there as well to sign up for. The box will pop up when you go to the site, so if you're interested in that, sign up for that too. And the podcast, the links are on the website. You can find them there. There'll be a new episode of that podcast dropping tomorrow morning, Friday, as always. Touch quite a lot on the Atletico Madrid game in that as well, so maybe something that your listeners will be interested in at least this week. So yeah, check out theturincrowd.com.
Beautiful. Adam Digby, you can read him at various places on the internet talking about Juventus and Italian football. Thank you so much for joining me on this edition of Colchonero Chat.
No problem, thank you.
You can follow Adam on Twitter at ADZ77. You can follow me on Twitter at JBBaron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon as ever. Like ITC on Facebook, facebook.com/Into the Calderon. You can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this podcast on your favorite platform, including Apple Podcasts. And check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. I posted an instant analysis pod there yesterday, and I'll be doing another one after the Celta Vigo match on Saturday. Talk to you then. Adios.